faith is trusting what God has said, even if it doesn't line up with what you see.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Easter Sunday, 2025. He is risen indeed. Pastor Jeff is speaking, and our text comes to us from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 23. And now, here's Pastor Jeff.
All right. It is so good to be here this Resurrection Sunday. You know, there's nothing more important than the resurrection. And, you know, we do these things, you know, the commercials do it all the time. They create these cool little catchphrases where, you know, say something, repeat something, you know. And so one of those things we say all the time is, you know, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good, right? Well, it's Easter or Resurrection Sunday. And so normally we would say, He is risen. And you would say, wow, that was pretty bad. All right, so let's work this out, right? So I'm going to say he's risen, and you're going to say, yes, he's risen indeed. Ready? He is risen.
Yes, he is risen indeed.
Amen. That is our victory cry. Jesus conquered sin and death. The truth of the matter is, we surrender to Jesus, and that's victory in our life because he has risen. Often we talk about so many things in our religion or in our understanding or what the Bible talks about. We talk about so many things in life. We talk about Bible, theology, religious practices, what we do on what day, Christmas, Easter, this, that, the other. And we get into arguments. I've heard theologians argue about the stupidest things in the Bible. They spend lifetimes arguing over whether the 6 days that God created the earth and everything in it and the universe, whether it was a 24-hour day or if it was a 1,000-year day. Because there's a place in the Bible where it says, a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years. And these people will stand there arguing their whole life, and that's the hill they will die on. But the truth of the matter is, folks, is without the resurrection, none of it matters. Absolutely none of it matters. The cross does not matter without the resurrection. A tomb that was already built, that was empty before the crucifixion, an empty tomb would not matter. But after the crucifixion, boy, does it matter. Because all that matters is that Jesus rose again. The cross is meaningless without the resurrection. It's just another death. The resurrection is what validates God's plan for our salvation. Everything Jesus did, making the blind see, helping the lame to walk, none of it would matter without the resurrection. The resurrection is everything because it justifies our sins, get justified, and it satisfies the needs of a just God. Because God is not only just and holy and will hold us accountable, he also justifies us through the blood of his Son. It is the resurrection that matters, church. And as we look today at the idea of the resurrection, I want to reflect back just a couple of days to Good Friday. And we call it Good Friday because the outcome of it was amazing. The outcome of it is the miracle. The outcome of it is what we get to hold on to. Now, I had the privilege of speaking on the third word, where Jesus is looking down from the cross and he sees his mother, his aunt, and a couple of other ladies there, and the disciple John. And they're looking at him, and I mentioned this on Friday, they're looking at him, there he is, he's their leader, he's their teacher, he's their rabbi, he's the one they believe in, he's the one who taught them everything they knew, he's the one who showed them how to do ministry, and there he is, and he's hanging on the cross. And church, we do what they did. We often forget. You see, there are multiple accounts throughout the Gospels where Jesus instructs and teaches his disciples. He says, hey, this is going to happen. Okay, Lord, we're listening. We hear you. I'm going to die. I'm going to return. And you will be saved. Okay, Lord, we hear you. We hear you. Yet in this moment, as they stood at the foot of the cross and they saw their Lord dying in agony, they forgot. And for a moment in their life, everything they had worked towards for those last 3 years, everything they knew from the scriptures, everything they believed about God, they forgot. And they thought in that moment, it's over. Everything we had been working for, everything we had been trusting in, everything we were believing, it's over. He's dying. And then he was dead. From Good Friday to Silent Saturday, you can imagine what it must have been like for them. They're standing at the foot of the cross. They see him die. They bring him down. They prepare the body. They lay him in the tomb. And a stone was rolled in front of the tomb so that the body could not be stolen, so that the disciples couldn't go and fake a resurrection. Well, while they lived in this agony, thinking that life was over, thinking their ministry was over, thinking that Jesus was just another man and that it was just another death, they were afraid of the Romans. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders. It was over. But church, I have something to tell you today. We are so blessed to know the whole story because we have our whole Word of God right here and we know how it ends. God wins. So we do get to read backwards, but if you could imagine what it must have been like for all of the disciples. Let me ask you this question. If you were a disciple of Jesus back then, would you have been with Mary and John? Or would have you been one of the other disciples who were running and hiding in fear? Because those who had run to hide in fear, they too believed that it was over. But church, what the Word of God is very clear and what we cling to and why we have hope and why we have peace is because the story's not over yet. They laid him in a tomb and they thought that's where he would be forever. A decaying body. But it's not over yet. It's not over, church. And so today we're going to look at John chapter 20. And I'm so excited to get into this. This is one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. It is the resurrection. It's what everything we do hangs on. And so you're going to see that sometimes in your life, you're going to be facing things. Could be financial problems, family problems, relationship problems, problems with your neighbor, problems with your boss, problems with your coworkers, problems with the government, whatever it may be. And you may go into this dark place and you may think, oh, it's over. I lost. I'm never going to get out of this. I'm never going to be able to rise above this. I'm never going to be able to go beyond this. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to make this work. You think it's over, but it's not over because God is with us. Early on Sunday morning, John chapter 20, verse 1, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and she found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started to run out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Let's pause right there for a quick second. I'm not sure why the Apostle John wanted us all to know that he runs faster than Peter. But because of the resurrection, when once we're all in heaven, I'm going to call those two together and I'm going to make them do a foot race and we're going to settle it, okay? All right, but we'll get there in eternity. And thank God for the empty tomb because we will get to be there. Verse 5, he stopped and looked in and saw linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up, lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in and saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that Jesus said, that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. A couple things I want us to see here. Is first, there's a cultural thing in here that if you're not looking for it, you'll miss it. You'll never catch it. If you don't study the Word of God in context, which means also looking at to who it was written, when it was written, and what the world around it was like, there's something really special in the linens. And I want to share this with you. Peter arrived, went inside, and noticed the linen wrappings just lying there. while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other. This is very, very significant. Men of Power, we talked about this last year. I don't know if you remember. But the tradition was like this. When the master was sitting at the table and he was done eating, he would wipe his face and throw his linen down and walk away. And the servants would know to come up and clear the plates and clear the tables and clear everything because he was done and he wasn't coming back. But when the master would stand to do whatever he needed to do in the middle of while he was eating, we don't know where he went or what he was doing. It could be anything, right? Maybe somebody came to the door. Maybe Amazon was dropping off a package. I don't know, right? But the idea is that when the master would stand up and fold his linen or his napkin and set it down, fold it, it meant he's coming back. It meant he's not done. So when Peter walked in and saw the body linen just thrown there, it meant nothing. But when he saw what had covered Jesus' face folded and sitting there, it was a sign. It was a cultural reference that said, I'm not done yet. The story's not over. I'm coming back. And so the first promise out of the tomb is to look at this cultural reference that says, the master will return, and praise God for that. Another thing that we need to see in here is that they didn't understand. And sometimes in life, we go through things that we don't understand. We get into these problems. We get into these situations. Sometimes it's of no fault of our own, and sometimes it's just because we stepped in it, right? And we're there, and we don't understand what's going on. We don't understand the lesson God has for us. We don't understand the reason. It makes me laugh, actually. Because a lot of times some of you will come to me and you'll be like, Pastor, like, I just don't know why I have all these problems in my life. And I just don't know why I'm facing this. And I just don't know why I'm facing that. And I just don't know why there's problems. Well, first, most of them are self-inflicted. Let's just be honest, right? We don't always make the greatest decisions. But what's more important is Jesus is very clear. In this life, you will have trials. In this life, you will have problems. But Jesus is also very clear that he will see you through it. He is the good shepherd. He is with you. We know his voice. He leads us. He guides us. And there will still be problems, yet we can trust in him to see us through it. God, Jesus is not a bridge over troubled waters, but he is a guide through them. And he will always see us to the other side. And that leads me to my first point for today. And that's when we're facing life, we have two choices. We can live in pain, or we can remember God's promises. The promises of God are so many. Now, I'm a pretty busy guy. I got a lot of things going on in life all the time. I'm running from here to there to this to that, teaching this class, doing this, doing that, even sometimes unclogging the toilet for y'all here, right? I'm a busy guy, and so I didn't have time myself to do this. But there are, somebody counted, I didn't, okay? 8,810 promises from God in his word. Over 8,000 promises in God's word. So here's the deal. You can live in pain, or you can live in the promises of God. You can live in the pain of your own life. You can live in the imagination of your own brain and the suffering that you create that isn't even happening, but it could. Or maybe even worse, you're living in the pain of the past. And instead of living and remembering God's promises, you've chosen pain. Well, let me tell you today, church, choose to remember God's promises. And I have four of them that I'm going to read to you right now. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you or forsake you. That is a promise of God for you today. Psalms 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you're brokenhearted today, if you feel like your spirit is broken, the promise of God is that he is close to you. Romans 8:28, all things, say all things, church, work together for good for those who love the Lord. That is a promise of God. It may not look the way you want it to look right now. but that is a promise of God. John 16, 33. Jesus said, I told you these things so that you may have peace in this world. Church, if you're living without peace, I have to be honest with you. You're doing it because you've forgotten God's promise. Choose to remember God's promises. You can choose pain or you can choose God's promises. It's up to you. Verse 11. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying as she wept. She stooped and looked in, and she saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? How many of you got a mom who would say that to you? Why are you crying? Why are you crying? You came to see a dead man. Why are you crying? He ain't here. Why are you crying? The angel asked her, because they've taken my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they have put him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, spoiler alert. But she didn't recognize him. Jesus says, dear woman, why are you crying? So first the angel wants to know, okay, church, in your lives, the angels want to know, why are you crying? Jesus wants to know, why are you crying? It's probably because you forgot his promises. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. It is so interesting that when we know the Lord, like he teaches us, I am the good shepherd, my sheep know my voice, and God is calling your name today. And he's calling you by name. And he wants a relationship with you that is so deep, that is so real, that is so true, that when you hear him call your name, there's no mistake that it's him. Because Jesus left the throne to come to earth to be with us, to call you by name. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. Jesus said, don't cling to me, for I have yet to ascend to my Father, but go find my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. And she gave them his message. Verse 19, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you. Church, first, you have to remember God's promises. You cannot forget God's promises, because if you do, you will live a life of pain and worry and doubt and misery of your own doing. Your life will be led to a dark place where it never should be, because you have the light of the world living inside of you. You have the word of God that is a lamp unto your feet that lights your path. But you also have to recognize God's presence. Mary thought he was the gardener. The disciples were hiding behind locked doors because they were afraid. Again, Jesus taught them, I'm going to die, but I'll be back. And in 3 years of ministry, they learned. Yet from the cross to the tomb, they forgot. Don't forget God's promise. And church, please recognize God's presence. When God shows up, experience him. God comes into your life in a way that is unexplainable. When God comes into your life and truly touches your life, it is unexplainable. I love to think of Jacob, who wrestled with God all night, and he wouldn't stop wrestling with God until God blessed him. And God touched him on the hip, and from that day forward, he walked with a limp. That's what the word says. And while some of you might think, well, if God touches me, why am I going to walk with a limp? Isn't that a bad thing? No, because when God touches your life, you never walk the same again. Experience the Lord today. Experience the Lord every day. Every day is resurrection day. Every day that God gives us another day of life, we wake up and we crucify ourselves. We crucify our own will. We crucify our flesh to be resurrected in the Spirit of God so that we may live for Him. Remember God's promises. Remember God's promises and recognize God's presence. The third thing that we're going to look at today is that we must also respond to God's power. Jesus enters to speak to His disciples. And in verse 19, He shows up. And in verse 19, He shows up and He says, sorry, my paper's moved. I'm so excited. He lives. He's risen. Man, you guys forget real quick. He is risen. He is risen indeed. One more time. He is risen. All right, well, that was the most believable out of all of them, so we'll just move on from right there. Verse 19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors. We know why. They were afraid. And suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, He said. And as He spoke, He showed them the wounds in His hands and in His side. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. That is the most underwritten verse in the entire Bible, right? I honestly, we don't put enough emphasis when we read the Bible. You know, when you listen to an audiobook or something like that, sometimes you get the Dallas Willard, the author himself will read the book to you. And he reads like this through the whole thing. And sometimes when we read the Bible, we read it like this and we don't quite get it. So let me reread this, I think, the way it should be read. As he spoke, bless you, he showed, you're already blessed. You're already blessed. Why? Because he is risen. We'll get there. We'll get there. We'll have choir rehearsal later this week, okay? As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. And they were filled with joy as they saw the Lord. Remember, for them, the story was over. Remember, for them, it was all dark. Remember, for them, their leader had died. He was put in a tomb. He was gone. It was over. They were associated with someone who the Romans condemned. They were associated with someone who the Jewish leaders hated and condemned. They were afraid it was over, but in this moment, they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. He puts the power into us. He puts the power into you to forgive the world around you. He gives you the power to live like Jesus, to bring peace to people who don't have it, to bring forgiveness to people just like yourself. And I don't want to look anybody in the eye because you're going to think, why'd you say that to me, Pastor? To bring to yourself forgiveness that you don't deserve. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. If somebody asks you, what do I got to do to earn salvation? What can I do to get right with God? There's nothing you can do. He's risen. It is already done. And that is what we cling to. That is the power of God. We have to respond to God's power. You have to remember His promises. You have to recognize His presence. And you have to respond to God's power. I'm going to respond to God's power now that He's made Himself real to me. When God makes Himself real in your life, you have to respond to that power. You have to respond with your life, with your whole life. It can't just be head knowledge. It can't just be something you heard about or something you know. It has to be something that not only affects your mind, but your heart. And when it affects your mind and your heart, it affects every single part of your life because Jesus is now with us. He is with you. Jesus is with them. He was with them in the garden. He was with Mary outside of the tomb. He was with the other disciples as they were walking. He was there in the upper room. This is a big deal. And in your life, just like in the disciples' life in this moment, when they thought it was over, it's not over. Whatever you're facing today, whatever struggle you're going through, whatever you're battling, you may think it's hopeless. You may think you're at the end of your rope. You may think there's no way you can keep this going. I got news for you. It ain't over yet. It's not over until God says it's over. Oh, but I've been so far from God. I rejected God a long time ago. I'm just here because my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my aunt, my uncle, somebody invited me, and it's Easter, and I guess I got to show up if I want to go to lunch, right? Whatever, right? Like, it's okay. It's not over. You have an opportunity today to get yourself focused on the power that lives in you, the power that is with you, the power that is there with you in your darkest moments. Jesus is with you. You have to remember the story is not over. God is real. His Son's work on the cross is real. But the most important part is that He has risen. And because He has risen, it's not a story that just gives us information. It's a story that leads us to the next page, right? We got to turn the page. You've been living in hurt. You've been living in pain. You've been living in worry. You've been living in doubt. You've been living in hopelessness. God has sent hope. And the cross is empty. And the tomb is empty. And the hope wants to live inside you today. God is with us. For some of you, the best thing you can do in your life today is to turn the page. Stop living in the agony and start living in the promises of God. For some of you, you look around and you say, God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Mary. He's going to call your name. And you got to recognize that He's with you. He is present. He is walking you through the storm. He is walking you through the trials. He is walking you through the brokenheartedness. And you have a hole in your heart that may be shaped like something. Enter whatever it is. You know what it is. The loss of a loved one, the end of a relationship, rebellious children. Whatever it may be. Whatever it may be that you're dealing with, whatever it may be that has you poor in spirit and brokenhearted, that hole in your heart, God will fill that today. And He will keep it filled as long as you stay focused on Him, as long as you cling to that. And these aren't my words. These are more than 8,000 promises that God gave us directly. So when God shows up and you recognize His presence, you can respond to His power and understand that we put our faith not in our own ability, not in the state, not in politics, not in a pastor, not in a church denomination, but we put our faith in God. Because all the power that conquered sin and death so that we could live is there for us to access and to allow to reign over our life. Today, if you know the Lord is your Savior, I just want to remind you. He's got you. What are you worried about? He's got you. He's paid the price for you. What are you worried about? Look, don't get me wrong. I understand we all face things, right? You know, I really don't want to talk about this. Oh, I really don't want to talk about this. Right? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. You got to pay your taxes, right? That hurt. And I wasn't exactly thinking of God's promises in that moment. I fall off my one wheel and hurt myself and, my knee. I'm not thinking about God's promises in that moment, right? Life happens and we forget sometimes. But we have to recenter ourselves and we have to look back and say, you know what, God, you were there. Your promise is real. Your presence is real. And your power reigns in my life. So if you do know the Lord today as your Lord and Savior, he's got you. He promised it. He will see you through it. He's never failed you, and he's not going to start now. Amen. If you don't know the Lord today, let today be the day that you receive him, that you allow him in. The tomb may be empty, and you may feel empty, but I promise you the power of Jesus will fill you. He fills your cup because it's by grace that we're saved through faith, and it's nothing that we can do ourselves. And I want to give you this new understanding of faith. I want you to take, if you take anything with you today, take this with you. Faith is trusting what God has said, even if it doesn't line up with what you see. Right? Because you think you got it all figured out, right? You think you know. Oh, no, but I know better. Oh, no, I know better. Oh, do you? Oh, do you now? How's that working out for you? Because I see you forgetting God's promises. I see you not recognizing his presence. I see you not tapping into his power. Faith is trusting what God has said, even if it doesn't line up with what you see. He loves you. He made a way for you. He's with you. There's a power that we receive. And it comes in this simple John chapter 20. It's such a powerful, it's not a long chapter. You should read it over and over every day. But Jesus shows up and twice he says, peace be with you. It's a peace that comes from grace, that comes from the work he did on the cross for us. Will you make a choice today to receive him? Will you join in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior and be resurrected out of death and into life? Recognize, remember, respond. The Lord is with you. The Lord has promised good to you. Let's be faithful to that promise. And receive him today. Because the greatest gift that God could give us past salvation is peace. We live in a crazy world. We live in a world where the news, every time you turn on, be afraid! Fear, 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 fear. Guess what that is? That is not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is peace, love, joy, happiness, kindness, tenderheartedness. Is that the life you want? I know that's the life I want. And I know I fall short, and I know I struggle, and I know I have to deal with things in life, and sometimes I forget his promise. We all are guilty of that, but we have to return to the promise. And then when we cling to the promise, we understand that his presence is there. And when we see the promise and we feel the presence, we can respond to the power that is the Holy Spirit that God sent to live in you. You see, the same Spirit, the same power that brought Jesus out of that tomb, that sent the angels to say, "Why are you crying?" is the same power that lives in you today. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And God will judge. But God is not only just, he's the justifier. And church, we have been justified by the blood of the Lamb. Respond to God's power.
He is our peace. Who has broken down every wall?
Can we stand?
He is our peace.
Some of you are living your life locked behind closed doors out of fear. But the text is very clear. On the first day of the week, and the doors of the house were locked for fear, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." You know, you can push God away all you want. You can lock all your doors. But the risen Savior knows no lock. The risen Savior knows no doors. And he's bringing you two things: grace and peace. Will you receive that peace today, church? Peace be with you. He is risen. Pastor.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad I heard the message. Did you hear the message? Did you hear the message? You know, this is one of those wonderful chapters. I'm not going to preach over the preaching. No. But verse 30 says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe in the Lord and you may have life in his name. Aren't we privileged? We're privileged. Privileged people. This is the day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. That the Lord would lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I hear a strong amen? Amen. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.